The following message is a presentation of the Sun Life Radio Network.
Turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Samuel chapter 9, beginning with the first verse. 2 Samuel. And Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "Your servant is he." And the king said, "Is there yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan has yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel in Lodabar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel from Lodabar. And I want to use for a subject the title of one of the greatest songs, and maybe the greatest that's ever been written, "Amazing Grace." Praise God, it is amazing. I said it is amazing. Amazing grace. Go ahead, give the Lord a hand of praise. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, Lord, we come with gratitude and thanksgiving. We ask in the name of Jesus that you would help us to deliver our soul and help the people to understand as it is delivered, giving you all praise and all glory. We ask it all in the name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen and amen. Grace is the word that I suppose is used as it regards the gospel more than any other word. Grace, the cross, faith, synonyms for the gospel, that one word explains it perhaps as nothing else can. But a lot of people, a lot of Christians do not understand grace. Grace is simply the goodness of God. Now remember this, it's the goodness of God extended to undeserving people. God has a cornucopia of good things that he wants to give to his children. That's grace. We do not deserve it. We could not merit it no matter what we did. But if we produce to the Lord a willing mind and an obedient heart, did you hear that? If we exhibit to the Lord a willing mind and an obedient heart, although undeserving, he will still shower upon us all manner of good things. Now, it is the cross of Christ, and this is a truth that I think most do not know. The cross of Christ, what Jesus did at the cross, the price that he paid, the victory that he won, is what makes the grace of God possible. I want that to be clear in your mind. You cannot separate grace from the cross. You cannot do it. The cross is the means by which God bestows his grace, his good things upon us. The cross alone has made it possible. Do you understand that? If everything had stopped with the virgin birth of Christ, while that was absolutely necessary, but not a single soul would have ever been saved. Had it stopped at the perfection of Christ, He never sinned, not one time, in word, thought, or deed. But had it stopped there, as necessary as that was, not a soul would have ever been saved. Had the miracles of God, miracles so astounding they beggar description, they boggle the mind, even to the raising of the dead, while those things were necessary, but had they stopped there, not a single soul would have been saved. The cross of Christ was the destination of Jesus Christ. It was not an execution or an assassination. It was a sacrifice, and he came to this world to be a sacrifice. A sacrifice for sin, and more particularly, a sacrifice for my sin and your sin. So it's the cross that makes the good things of God possible. And some would say, well, before the cross, before the cross, did God have grace? Oh, yes. God had just as much grace then as he does now. But due to the fact that the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sins, that meant that the sin, original sin, remained even on the God list of those in Old Testament times. And the sacrificial system, offering up a lamb or a goat or a heifer, offering that up served as a substitute for the one who was to come. And even though the Lord was limited as to what he could do before the cross, still, every person that was saved, every life changed, every power of God made evident, was still, through the cross, served as an example by these sacrifices. But when Jesus hung on that cross and said, Father, it is finished. Glory to God. You can take the little lambs and turn them out to pasture. They are no longer needed anymore. Glory to God. Because the cross of Christ makes grace possible in an unprecedented proportion. Paul, some people tried to take what he said and pervert it when he said, where sin abounded, that means it just was awful. Grace did much more abound. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I said, where sin abounded. You say, well, I don't know if God would forgive me. I don't know if he would cleanse me. You don't know what I've done, Brother Swagger. Yes, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now, that doesn't mean that sin's no problem. Sin all I want to, because grace, which is greater and bigger, covers it. Paul addressed that by saying, do you not know? What can I say? That we who have the grace of God, do we sin that grace may abound? His answer was, God forbid. How shall we who are dead to sin live any longer therein? Hallelujah. I don't want to sin. I don't want anything to do with sin. I don't want it. But I cannot honestly stand here and tell you, because Frances is sitting up here. She knows better. I cannot honestly tell you that I am perfect. I'm going to talk to the men a few moments here. You fellas will know what I'm talking about. I don't care how holy you are, sir. I don't care how righteous you are, sir. Your wife can make you more angry in a moment's time than every devil that ever came out of the pit. Mr. Larson, don't you sit there and look at me with that holier-than-thou look. But I will say this. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. John Bunyan, who wrote Pilgrim's Progress, a drunk, I mean a mean drunk, a wife beater, depriving his children, realizing he was about to lose everything, John Bunyan, went out into an open field and fell down on his knees and said, God, I don't know how to pray, but I can't go on like this. I'm going to lose my family and I'm going to lose my soul. All I know to do, Lord, is to pray a little prayer I learned as a child. And he prayed it, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, please have pity on a little child. You, with your mercy and your grace, cleanse me from all my sin. And Jesus Christ saved him and changed his life. Now, about 10 years after David had become the king of both Judah and Israel, David is a man that is larger than life. He is the man whom God chose that through his family would come the Son of the living God and would be called the Son of David. You can't get greater than that. I mean, you can't get higher than that. It's not possible. I guess as far as royalty is concerned that the kings and queens of England probably stand out. I remember I was in the, Francis and I were in the Mercedes Museum in Stuttgart, Germany. It was closed, but they let us in, which we were grateful. And I was walking around, like I said, no one in there, except there was two ladies and a man. I didn't pay any attention to them. I was walking around looking at the various Mercedes automobiles, and they had Hitler's car there, all that type of thing. And then I came kind of close to the two ladies and the gentleman, and one of the ladies spoke up and said, Reverend Swaggart, how are you doing? I turned around and looked at her, and I said, well, fine. And I said, are y'all on vacation in Germany? She said, oh, no. She said, we're in the service, or at least I am. She said, at least my husband is. I said, oh, I said, what branch? She said, well, Air Force. I said, can he fly? Is he a pilot? She kind of looked funny and said, well, I guess he can. I don't know. She said, Brother Swaggart, my husband is the Deputy Secretary of NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, the most powerful armed forces in the world, there to stop the Soviet bear if they ever attacked. And she said, this is the king and queen of Norway. You talk about, I'm stumbling around trying to What do you do when you meet a king? You mean you don't know? Well, that was the first king I had ever met. But I do know this. One day I will meet the king, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the fairest of 10,000s. There's never been anyone quite like David. He was the greatest, I think I can say this without fear of contradiction, the greatest type of Christ that we find in the Old Testament. And yet David committed some of the most dastardly sins that were so awful as to defy description. This of my message this morning was only a couple of years before that terrible time. David now had defeated all the enemies around Israel, and he calls in some of his cabinet and asks the question, is there anyone left of the house of Saul to whom I may show kindness? Now, Saul had hunted David like an animal for 15 years, trying to kill him. Had done everything he could only by the power of God that David escape the spear. And yet he says, is there any left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness to him? Now, I want that to sink in. I want you to hear me. I don't care what you've done, how sinful you've been in the past. Do you realize that God wants to show you kindness? I want you to get this, because most of the world, if they believe in God, they don't want any part of him, because he's going to come down and hit them and smite them, and he's going to do some terrible thing to them because of their sins. No, he wants to show you kindness. I don't mean condone your sin, no, but he wants to show you kindness and give you a better life. They brought in a man by the name of Ziba. Ziba was asked the question, do you know if there are any of the house of Saul that is yet alive? And he said, yes, there is one young man, Jonathan's son. His name is Mephibosheth. That name means shameful. Mephibosheth, why his mother named him that, shameful, I don't know. It is said that whenever his nurse was trying to take him out, it must have been a second or third story, she dropped him as a little baby and it crushed his feet and he was lame. When the servant Ziba mentions Jonathan, David and Jonathan had been, despite the fact that Jonathan was Saul's son, had been the closest of friends. They cut a covenant and shed blood, signifying. Now understand, Jonathan was in line for the throne of Israel, but he knew that God had called David. He knew that God had laid his hand on David and anointed David to be the next king of Israel. And it took a big man, he in line for the throne, but yet I will give it to you because you are God's choice. That took something. Oh, you're not hearing me. Because when money is involved, power is involved, prestige is involved, how many would say, no, God has called you? But the covenant they cut, in effect said, David said, whatever I have, if you need it, it's yours. And Jonathan said, whatever I have, if you need it, it's yours. But David had nothing. Nothing. Jonathan had everything. But he knew the will of God. And there aren't many in history that would have conducted themselves as did Jonathan. The will of God, Jonathan, in essence said, comes first. Do you get that? Let me tell you something. I know what I'm talking about. And I thank God it isn't so here. I'll explain in a moment. It is not correct here. But in the church world as a whole, there are more politics than there are between the Republicans and the Democrats. I know what I'm talking about. Precious few will say, thy will be done, Lord. All right. David sends after Mephibosheth. And God, the Holy Spirit, is sending for you. You hear me? Some of you are lost. You're without God. God, the Holy Spirit. What do you think you're in front of that camera for? I mean, that TV set. I'll tell you why. You're there because God, the Holy Spirit, has put you there. You may think it was an accident that you crossed the channels and just happened to find it. It was no accident because there are no accidents with God. You are there because God Almighty put you there. And He's got something good for you. He's got something wonderful for you. He's got something glorious for you. Glory to God. He sent for Mephibosheth. God the Holy Spirit sending for you. You can get up and get angry and turn that knob, but you won't outrun the Holy Spirit. And He sends a chariot to get Mephibosheth. He's lame on his feet. He cannot walk without help. His feet must have been badly turned. They had no way then to correct it. Every human being who doesn't know the Lord is spiritually lame. They can't walk right. Why do you think that millions upon millions upon millions have got to have a drink? I've just got to have a drink. Why? Because they're lame. They've got to have a crutch. And alcohol is a crutch. I've got a better crutch for you than Jack Daniels. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I don't know exactly how it happened. They found out where he lived. It was in a place called Lodabar. Lodabar was a desert place. You know what a desert is? That's where Mephibosheth lived, in a desert place. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care if you're the governor of the state. I don't care what your place and position is. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you're in a desert. You're in a desert. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Every one of us. Every one of us were once in a desert, but thank God he brought me in from the fields of sin. Well, he brought me in from the fields of sin. Well, I praise God. He brought me in. When I look out yonder where I have been, then I praise God. He brought me in. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. How many of you were drunks when Jesus saved you? How many? Right today, you would be worse off or in hell, but Jesus Christ brought you in from that desert place. Glory to God. And he sent this chariot and a cordon of David's mighty men. The scripture doesn't say that, but I know David. And when that big chariot stops in front of Mephibosheth's house, and those big prancing steeds, you don't think he'd have had a little old scrawny donkey pulling it, do you? I mean, this is the king's chariot. He's got big prancing steeds. And they have all the trappings. And one of David's captains steps out. And he, flanked by several of David's warriors, they knock on the door. Let me tell you, in those days, all claimants to the throne, whoever was in power, killed them. They didn't let anybody live. That was a claimant to the throne. And Mephibosheth lived in constant fear that David would find out that he was alive, because now that his father Jonathan was dead, he was in line for the throne. And those days, they killed him. I don't mean just one. They killed everything that might even think about having a claim on the throne. But David, a type of Christ. And Mephibosheth, he limps to the door and opens it. And his heart sinks. He sees these mighty men standing there. He looks and sees the chariot and those prancing steeds, and he thinks, oh God, they're going to kill me. The man said, are you Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, grandson of Saul? He said, yes, I am. Come with us. You can see his countenance fall, and he says, well, let me get a few things. He said, you won't need anything. You don't need anything. Just leave everything. Come with us. When you come to Christ, you don't need the junk you used to have. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, glory, glory, glory to God. When you come to Jesus, you don't need anything you once had. They help him. And he great effort, they put him in the chariot. Nobody says anything to him. They, with those big prancing steeds, pull that chariot the miles to Jerusalem. They come up in front of the palace, and it stops. Randall, would you come to that board, please? There were, he looked at outside, a long line of men with trumpets and horns. I want some brass. I want brass. And that's it. That's what I want. That's it. Give me some volume over there. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. They didn't know it then, but if they had, they would have sung, Amazing Grace, how sweet that sound. Oh, that saved a wretch like me. Well, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. You may be seated. They catch him by the arm. Take him into the palace. And when he stands before David, he falls on his face. And David said, Mephibosheth, you don't have anything to fear. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For the sake of Jonathan, with whom I cut a covenant. And I want to stop that sentence right there. For the sake of Jesus Christ. Glory. Hallelujah. For the sake of Jesus Christ, who cut the covenant on Calvary's cross, I will take your sin away and give you everything. He says, Mephibosheth, you've been living in a desert. But every acre of land that your father and your grandfather owned in Israel is now yours. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And not only that, we'll get somebody to take care of it. You're going to stay with me in the palace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me tell you, when you come to God, you're no longer an orphan. You're no longer an orphan. You're no longer a servant, but you are a son and a daughter of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Praise God. He said, you will eat every meal with me at the table. Don't stop. You're doing good. All right. Now listen. I've heard preachers say they were wrong. They said that when he sat down to the table, those crippled feet were hidden under the table. No, that's not the way they ate in those days. They sat down on the floor, and their feet was out behind them. And where those deformed feet were obvious for all to see. Glory to God. The Lord wants you to know that you are a trophy that he has redeemed. Hallelujah. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears well relieved. How precious did that grace appear. That hour I first believed. If you noticed, Mephibosheth didn't have to do anything to get it. Just take it. It's yours. Glory to God. Could you stand, please? Well, it was amazing grace. How sweet that sound. These altars, and let me tell you, now under Christ, he will give you far, far more than David could ever think of giving to Mephibosheth, which served as a type. But the Lord Jesus Christ will give you eternal life. I want three or four of the preachers to come, please. I want you to stand. Honey, could you come, please? If you're here today and you're not certain that all is well, I want you to step out and walk down here. We will not embarrass you. Brother Swaggart, I'm tired of living in a desert place. Well, God, the Holy Spirit has sent for you. He has sent for you. I want you to come. I won't embarrass you. I give you my word. Praise God. It was amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Oh, that saved a wretch like me. Just about to pray for those by radio and television and the internet when I felt the Lord speak to my heart and said, sing it one more time. I'm speaking to somebody out here, he said, and I want you to come. It'll take a little courage to walk down that aisle, I'll admit, but it'll be the greatest move you ever made. You see, there are some of you here, you aren't right with God. I don't know who you are, but you know and God knows. I want you to come as we sing it one more time. To all of us grace that taught my heart to this young man to pray with me, and those of you by radio, by television, by the internet, the Lord is speaking to you today. And I want all in this audience to pray with them, to pray with him. And I want you to believe what you say with all of your heart, and he'll give you eternal life. Now let us pray. Dear God in heaven,
I come to you.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I'm sorry for my sins. The things I've done.
The way I've lived.
Please forgive me.
And cleanse me.
With your precious blood.
From all unrighteousness.
With my mouth. I confess
the Lord Jesus.
In my heart.
I believe
that God raised Jesus
from the dead.
And he's alive.
This moment I accept Jesus Christ
as the Savior of my soul.
And I make him
the Lord of my life.
And according to God's word,
which cannot lie,
I'm washed.
I'm cleansed.
I'm forgiven.
I am saved.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Praise the name of Jesus. Turn around and love somebody, if you will. Be here tonight at 6 o'clock. Don't miss it. Well, there's a new name written down in glory.
Thank you for listening to this podcast presentation from the Sun Life Radio Network. This podcast is made possible by the generous support of people like you. To contribute to this work, please visit www.jsm.org or call 1-800-288-8350.